Lord, open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things in your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. One more sermon in the series to go after today. And today's sermon in the series is a tough one because it rides very close to the edge of things and oversteps the line of what has become socially acceptable. But that doesn't make it right. You shall not bear false witness. A minister once announced, "Next Sunday I'm going to preach on the subject of liars." And in this connection, I would like you all to read Mark chapter 17. The next Sunday he began by saying, "Now all who have read Mark chapter 17, raise your hands." And nearly every hand went up. "Very good," said the preacher. "You are precisely the people I wish to speak to this morning, as there is no 17th chapter of Mark." I should try it, shouldn't I? So let me ask, is there ever a time when lying is okay? Consider how serious lying would be in the following situations. The car tire official. The tires on your car are safe. The trial witness. "I saw this woman with that group rob this man on Friday night." The aeroplane mechanic. "The engine you saw me working on is in good working order." The groom. "I'll be faithful to you alone until death." Now, God considers lying a very serious matter, regardless of whether the consequences of that lie are immediate or deadly. You heard it in that reading we had. There are 6 things the Lord hates. There are 7 things he cannot stand: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that kill innocent people, a mind that thinks up evil plans, feet that are quick to do evil, a witness who lies, and someone who starts an argument among families. Yet as much as God hates lying, lying is endemic even within the church. So why is it important to tell the truth? And I'm going to, for the rest of our time, look at 6 reasons. The first, truth-telling is evidence of a changed life. In Colossians, Paul wrote, "Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices." And in 1 John we read, "I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth." And Jesus himself in John 14 verse 7 speaks of the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth. When we committed our life to Jesus and chose to follow him, we received the Holy Spirit who now lives within us and is supposed to be in control of our life. If the Spirit of truth is present and in control, then our life should be marked by truth. If this is so, how come we still struggle with the truth? Lying brings into question either the presence of the Holy Spirit, which would mean that we're not saved, or it brings into question whether he really does have control of our life. Secondly, truth provides protection. Paul again to the Philippians, "Whatsoever is true, think on these things, and the God of peace will be with you." And to Ephesians, "Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled." Lies provide a false sense of security. The prophet Isaiah said, "We have made a lie our refuge and falsehood our hiding place." There was a survey once done, and it found that 15% of ladies tinted their hair, 38% wore a wig, 80% wore rouge, 98% wore eyeshadow, 22% wore eyelashes, 93% wore nail polish, and 100% voted in favour of a resolution condemning any kind of false packaging. Ouch. And they will say they do it for the men. We're all guilty. Thirdly, truth identifies you with the Father. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." In Hebrews we read, "It is impossible for God to lie." Lies identify you with Satan. Jesus is quite clear about this. In John 8, he declares that Satan is the father of lies. It is impossible for God to lie. Have you ever thought about what it would be like if God could lie? Think about some of the promises that he has made. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. John 14. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hebrews 13. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Acts 16. But as many as received him, to them he gave them power to become children of God. John 1. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Romans 8. My God shall supply all your needs. Philippians 4:19. What are these promises which are so fundamental to the life of Christ came from a liar and not from God? What if God could lie? What if all the promises were just lies? A promise is a gift. And most of us have had to live with broken promises. Perhaps someone promised you a special present. They promised that they would go for a walk with you when they got home. They promised that they would be faithful to you. They promised that they would always love you. They promised that they would never go away, but they broke their promise. And now you have trouble trusting anyone who makes promises. But God is very different. You see, God cannot lie. In Numbers 23, it says, God is no mere human. He doesn't tell lies or change his mind. God always keeps his promises. And the biggest promise God ever made was to send a son, a savior, to pay the debt that sin bought. All the pain and lostness that separates us from God, each other, ourselves and creation. What a promise. And then when Jesus came, he said he was going to die and promised to come back to life. The promise gets even bigger. And we get suspicious because we know from experience that the bigger the promise gets, the more unbelievable it comes. You know how it is when you get the specially chosen envelope and you are the one? How many of you get sucked in by this? None of us, do we? And the bigger the sum, you say, oh, if only. But you never send it because you know that you'll never get it. And you're probably one about 100 million others who are going to put in their envelope and send it. But as big as this promise was, Jesus did come. He did die. He did pay the penalty for all that separates us from God, others, ourselves and creation. He did rise from the dead. And he did make forgiveness available to all. If God can fulfill a promise like that, then he can fulfill any promise because it is impossible for God to lie. And when I fulfill my promises, when I tell the truth regardless of the cost, it allows me to carry the same identification as God. A truth teller, a promise keeper, someone who tells the truth is someone who can be trusted. Nicky Gumbel tells a story, and those of us who have done the Alpha program will remember this, about some young man who was the secretary or something for some powerful person in some firm in England. And I don't know the story very well, but I remember this bit. And and he picks up the phone as secretary, and he answers it, and he looks at the boss, and he said, "Tell him I'm not here." And he handed the phone to the boss and said, "You tell him." Because, he said, if I lie for you, you'll never be able to fully trust what I have to say. There's truth to that, isn't there? Fourthly, truth exposes dangers to be avoided. 1 Timothy 2, God wants everyone to be saved. Have no doubt about that in your mind. It is the heart of God that everyone be saved. And to know the whole truth, which is, there is only one God, and Christ Jesus is the only one who can bring us to God. Jesus was truly human, and he gave himself to rescue all of us. The truth is, we are all destined for a Christless eternity, hell, unless we respond to the welcome and yes of God, and choose to be his follower. by telling us the truth. God has given us a way to escape the dangerous situation we are in. So how truthful are we with our neighbours and co-workers? How many of our neighbours and co-workers and the people who live in Picton are living under the false assumption that they are going to heaven because they have been good? Which amazes me how many saints there are at their funerals. Or because God is so loving that he wouldn't let anyone go to hell. And if that was true, why was the cross ever necessary? Are we doing anything to correct that false assumption? Some people don't respond too well to the truth. But we don't have an option of only telling the truth when it's comfortable and convenient. We are the ones who know what is coming. And if we don't warn them about what is ahead, who will? Fifthly, truth sets a good pattern for your life and for your family. A minister tells of a time, it's a bit like the story I just told a few moments ago. A minister tells of a time when he visited a family whose son had a drug problem. And the father was distraught as he described the impact of drugs on their relationship. And he said, "The thing that bothers me most about the drug use is that it has made him a liar." Moments later, the phone rang and his wife took the call, and it was for her husband. And he told her, "Tell him I'm not a liar." "I wonder," said the minister, "was it the drugs or the father's example that made his son a liar?" See, what kind of example are we? There is no such thing as a white lie. People say, "I just tell white lies." All lies, whether they're small or worldwide consequences, are lies in God's eyes. C.S. Lewis once said that a little lie is like a little pregnancy. Everyone is going to know soon enough. The more you practice the art of lying, the better you become at it. And in the parable of the talents, Jesus told us a principle that applies here. The one that is faithful in a few things will be faithful over great things. Being faithful in truth-telling in the small things will ensure faithful truth-telling in the big things. And lastly, truth frees. Jesus said, "The truth will set you free." Mark Twain was right when he said the difference between a person who tells the truth and tells a lie is that the liar's got to have a better memory. It's true, isn't it? It's really interesting, you may not know this, but it's absolutely true, that people who are high-class spies and do all that espionage thing always tell as much of the truth that they possibly can, because in telling the truth, it will come over as truth. What is more, you're less likely to get tripped up. Interesting, isn't it? Interesting. Lies trap you because you have to live in a false little world you have created. You can't allow anyone to see the true you. And I've met people who are really afraid that someone might discover the truth about themselves, because they've created this false image of who they are and what they can do. You know, a novel I was reading, was the image was cast really well. There was this guy who had just built this great reputation, and that way he won a girl's heart. And he was going to do this, and he was going to do that, and he'd been there, and he'd been this way, and he'd been all over the place. But she found soon after she married him that it was all a lie. It was all something that he had constructed in his mind. But it was utterly convincing. But as C.S. Lewis says, shows up eventually. The truth can be seen. But the truth frees you to enjoy all the benefits and promises that God has offered to you. When you're truthful about sin, the truth frees you to enjoy God's forgiveness, to enter into his yes and welcome. It's always puzzled me. I think it's perhaps preachers are as guilty as anybody in respect to this, that we don't hear a lot about the yes and welcome of God, do we? We tend to hear about, you know, if you sin, you're going to go to hell and the judgment and all those sorts of things, and I would be faithful in saying that. But there is the yes and welcome of God. He does want to embrace us and bring us into that place of healing and light and knowing that we are forgiven. When you accept the truth that you are forgiven and acceptable in God's sight, then it frees you to be who you are in Christ without worrying about the condemnation of other people. The truth that God is in control frees you from being trapped by worry about the future. And the truth that God loves you no matter what frees you from always having to live up to someone else's standard in order to have their approval and love. As Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Lord Jesus, I pray that for each one of us that we would be truth tellers, that our lives would be marked by this character of God, that people would see in us and be able to trust us to be truth tellers, promise keepers. Holy Spirit, stir our consciences and keep us alert in all that we say and do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.